Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply, humbly grateful you chose to be with me on this July 18th day, 2020. We're going to be looking at healing a little bit. I'm going to make this a very huge theme in our November retreat. I hope that we'll have a November retreat. It all depends on if we get healed, as it were. So I thought this would be a wonderful time to maybe talk a little bit about it and see where we are with things. You know, we're the public. There is a large segment of the public that tries to, you know, amend their life, as it were, and cooperate with the mask rules that the governor has put into place. And I think they're very, it's very important, very, very important that we all wear our masks and any other precautions we can take. But I read this morning in the Gate, the Chronicle, San Francisco, that young people aren't wearing them and they're being nasty, as it were, to those who are and those who suggest that they do, that they're Americans and free and all of that. We are not free. There is no such thing as freedom. The freedom that we seek in the outer is not the freedom that lives within us, and we must find that freedom within our own heart, the authentic heart. Once we are motivated by the authentic heart, that is when things can change. That's when we all change. That's when things start to move in other directions. But we are politicalizing, socializing, and mesmerized by the whole idea of thinking that we're free. None of us are free. You live in a human body right there makes it difficult to be free. Impossible, because the dictates of the human body are about its own selfishness and pride, its own vanity and fear, its own demise, and it will die no matter what. So you're not free. None of us are. What we must do is learn that the freedom we seek lives within us. So we're going to be looking at healing from the point of view, not of just the body, but of something deep within us, to migrate over to the state of consciousness, to live in love rather than in human rights. And that's what we are facing. Is it going to be love, or is it going to be merely human rights? And I think a lot of people are content with living just in human rights. And that is going to be a real issue as we go down the road here into the fall, and whether or not the pandemic is going to multiply itself down the road. So I had some questions that came in last week about healing, and I thought it very interesting. Rarely do people ask about it, and I think it's an important subject, so here we go. Restoring the human body to health is the definition of the word healing, and let's see what we come up with. The first question comes from Rex. He goes into the trials and tribulations of wearing a mask. He is in his 40s, he says, and he is trying to understand why people won't wear a mask, blah, blah. And then he asks the final question, will the world ever heal from itself? Rex. Rex, you ask a very profound question after everything you said, and I don't know where you live, so I don't know how urgent the pandemic is there. I don't know how widespread it is, but I can tell you that the pandemic is living within human beings as the state of their mind, the state of their aptitude towards us. Not only the social aspect of it, but the universal aspect of cooperating and learning how to live in harmony within themselves with love. It is all about love. The healing we seek is not just in the biological, the physiological, it's in the spiritual. And we have a great deal of difficulty with healing within ourselves towards love. Love is very difficult for the average person. It is not something that we understand. We assume love. We don't understand love. We don't make room for love. And the pandemic is really about love. The lovelessness of living politically, the lovelessness of living socially, the lovelessness of not caring about your fellow human beings, the lovelessness of yourself, not feeling love within you, within me. Am I my brother's keeper? That is the question. To a certain degree, yes, and to a certain degree, no. We are all in this together biologically, okay? We are all in this together socially. Now, am I responsible for you? I am responsible for not making your life miserable by doing what I think makes my life comfortable. If I ignore this, which it seems that the millennials are doing, I read on the on CNN the other day that, and I just peruse these things for radio programs, I want you to know, that millennials are spending more money on alcohol in bars than they are in rent and food in their own lives. Now, whatever that means, simply means they say in the article that millennials are stressed out. So they turn to alcohol and marijuana, I'm sure. All these things they did learn from their parents. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that was the theme song for the millennials' parents. I know it was in my generation that helped create these millennials, and they didn't have any guidance or anything. They just were left to themselves to play video games and other such things. They weren't schooled in anything other than selfishness and pride. And it left them, so to speak, bankrupt when it came to the ability to realize love. Now, this love problem we've had since the beginning of humankind, we are easily tempted to do the things that make our bodies feel good, and then our minds, because there are many sharp people, smart people, quick on the uptake, they find a way to rationalize their own evil and make it look like it's harmless. And one of them that is being used currently is this one where I'm an American, I'm free, nobody tells me what to do. And of course you see, you know, your president and vice president running around without masks on, and during this pandemic, you know, they're playing golf and all of that. This causes people, the weak, the insecure, the easily influenced, to think in terms of, I can do what I want. I've seen all sorts of interviews with young people. Well, I'm young, I'm healthy, it won't affect me. I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm in shape, it won't affect me. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it, you know, that kind of thing. No one wants to discipline themselves in this pandemic because they have no love. They are not interested in love. They are interested in only gratifying their emotionality. And how they do it, they do it. You know, either through booze, alcohol, or just being out and defying the odds, as it were. But as they come down with the pandemic, as they come down with the virus, they start to sing a different tune. I see on YouTube, where they're, oh, well, you shouldn't do it. I didn't know. I thought I could. La, la, la. Will we ever heal? Rex, this is such a good question. In the history of humankind, no. I doubt if we will ever, as a country, as a civilization, ever heal. If you mean healing is the regeneration of the body or the changing of the guard, as it were, going from living by impulse to living through insight, I don't think so. I do not believe the human race stands much of a chance with its enemy being itself. So, no, I don't think that's going to really happen. But you, Rex, me, Greg, and others like us, we can change. We can incorporate compassion and loving kindness to our life. We can heal ourselves by learning how to live in consciousness, in the ebb and flow of a profound silence within us, to hear the tones of love rather than react to the noise that constitutes living in hatred and fear. Most people don't want to be told that they are what they are. People don't want to hear that. They're easily insulted. And because of that, you're not going to be able to help the masses. They're petty at the highest point in their life. They're petty. So, no, my dear one, you and I are going to have to want love more than wanting what we think we love, what we think is love. That's going to be the issue. And no one can change that but ourselves. We must do this. Heal yourself. Do the things that you have to do to stay safe. And then take it a little further and work on forgiveness. This is a wonderful time to be working on things of consciousness, efforts of consciousness. Forgive. Release, let go. You can do catharsis. I give you all sorts of meditations that are cathartic. You can use those. Whatever you need to do to let love be possible in you is the most important thing you can do with your life. I hope that helps you, Rex. Don't put your hope in humankind. If you do, you will be terribly disappointed. Put your efforts in awakening, inwardly awakening. Please forgive me. Namaste. He asks a great question. I admire him. I'd like to know where he lives. I'm just kind of curious. The next one, this comes from Roger. Can society change? Can we get ever some peace in this world? Roger. And he doesn't tell me where he lives either. In the years I've been alive, I have never seen society change for the sake of love or awakening. I've seen society change and go into cycles. Right now we're in a cycle, and it's an intense cycle. We're back in the 60s again with civil rights, and well be we should, because this whole thing of the brutality of the police and all of that, you have to really understand what we're up against here. It's the human instinct to survive, and it's awful. We have never tempered ourselves as individuals, and individuals are what make up society, so it gets pretty hairy as we go down the path of living. We just don't really understand what we're up against. You and I are up against the way we sit, the posture of our inwardness. We are not up against other people. We're up against the way we think. And the way we think allows us to live in a world and formulates a world of people who all think alike. And then we think from there we can just party on. And that's the whole idea, socialization, not spiritual awakening. And as long as we are more contemptuous about our spiritual life and less observant of our social life and understanding that it is only the ego that gets tantalized and moralized through society, then we're going to continue on the way we are. Jesus said, there will always be wars and rumors of wars in this world. He was right. This is a very tumultuous world. It's always in turmoil. There's never any inner peace in this world at all. So we go on and on and on, going from one emotional pattern to another emotional pattern to another emotional pattern. And it just doesn't really work, but we do this no matter what because of the way we think, the way we live on the inside of ourselves, me first, me first, me first. Society is always about the whole thing of me first. It isn't about love. It isn't about kindness. It isn't about compassion. It's about me first. So we don't really live in the kind of overall view, the bigger picture view of life itself. We can't control each other. We can only control ourselves, and society shows us those who control themselves and those who don't. And most people, they don't. They don't see any reason to. Hence, they don't really meditate. They are not influenced by meditation. They're not influenced by silence. They're not influenced by tone, the tone of silence. They're not influenced by kindness or compassion. It is of no influence. They admire it in other people. They want to get it for themselves from other people. But everybody has kind of got a spiritual bank account, and they're pretty cheap. And the bank account, though very rich in love, rich in kindness, most people are afraid of all of that because they're afraid they're going to lose by loving, by truly giving. They don't want to hear about all of that. They just want to survive and get along as long as they possibly can and hope that one day they just, if they have to die, they just go to sleep and that's the end of it. Nothing more, nothing less. This is the way people live. I talk to them. I work at hospice. I know exactly what they're thinking and why they think the way they do. It doesn't change anything. Society is not going to change. And if you're waiting, Roger, for society to change, to be happy or to be comfortable or to be whatever it is you think you want it to be, you're going to be sorely disappointed. And I mean sorely disappointed, because it just won't work that way. We're going to continue on the way we're going to continue on. I think the thing that shocked me the most about all this, it really did, my naivete and basic stupidity came into play here. I really didn't think that people lacked as much common sense as they do. And they do. There's very little common sense out there. So they see two men, the president and the vice president, not wearing masks. And they think to themselves somehow that that is being patriotic or manly. So then people don't wear masks. I never realized how much real influence a political leader has over the masses. I mean, I thought, truly naivete here and stupidity, that basically we all had the common sense to, so to speak, take care of ourselves and know what was good and a little bit care about one another. But I'm wrong. I'm definitely wrong. There is no common sense out there. We don't really care about much about one another. And we don't have any sense of, wow, I'm in this thing with all of humanity. What is my place to help not only myself, but truly to help others? No, we're not into that. There's a lot of people who can't be alone with themselves, Roger. They can't be alone. I live in Carmel, and I watch the tourists come in. They just are so forlorn. People are just forlorn. To live with themselves in, let's say, a sequestered way or a quarantined way, it's just way over the top for them. They just can't do it. And they don't question why they can't do it. They just know they can't. So let's go out and get drunk. Let's go out and get a donut and coffee. And let's just not wear our masks or wear any masks and defy the whole thing. Who cares about old people? Well, now the young people are getting it. We'll see how much they care. Roger, it takes a great deal of resilience to live in this world. And the object of the game is to live in the world, but not of it. Don't let it live in you. Let love live you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, I'm running out of time. What can we do to help the world? This is from Sue in San Diego. Thank you, Sue, for telling me where you live. What can we do to be kind, to send out energetics of love, compassion to all living beings, to be thoughtful, forgiving, mindful of what you're doing, things like that? They're very important. But the one thing I have found, at least for myself, is something that Lao Tzu said in the Tao Te Ching: yield and overcome. Do not yield to your humanity, to cave into it, to desire, ambition, and pride. Yield to your heart. Listen to your heart. The mind is a great servant, but not a very good master. If you live in the heart, if you live in the beauty of the heart, if you can live in the essence of your authentic heart, not human heart, your real heart, you will do what's best for all. Yes, you will sacrifice many things, but those things are easily sacrificed for the sake of allowing yourself to serve love and allowing humankind to be blessed by that love. Do whatever you do, but do it for the sake of love and not for the sake of selfish pride, vanity, or political agenda. What can you do to help the world? Be your authentic self. Let love live you. Don't let instinct and fear live you. Don't allow pride to overwhelm you. Let love live you. And this will mean a certain discipline. You will no longer be interested in how you can do the things you need to do to ease the tension or the stress that you think you're under, as the millennials do. They have very low stress threshold. They were never taught how to live. They were only taught how to react. And that is my generation's fault. We did that to them. And there's no way to go back and change it. It just can't be done. So here is the world you live in. And there are a lot of brave people out there, nurses and doctors, who, even the ones I know, who are trying to do everything they can to help humankind. The goodness of their heart is astounding to me. The nurses, especially, that I have more contact with. And I respect them with all my heart and soul, because they don't do their job for money. They do their job to serve humankind. And it's a very noble effort that they make under very bad conditions. I hope that helped you. Thank you, Sue. Please forgive me. Namaste. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. I look forward to your questions. You can always send me a question, greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.